So where are Grandma and Grandpa going to sleep?
Jean's room smells like farts.
That makes sense.
Great, well, we'll put them in there then. Maybe they'll leave sooner when they smell farts.
Yeah.
Jean can sleep with me in my room as long as he doesn't mind my night terrors.
Huh?
Remember you let me watch Night of the Living Dead when I was 8? So now I wake up every night standing in the middle of my room scratching the air and kicking.
Oh, good.
Wait, you still get those?
Yeah, they're weirder now.
Oh, boy.
I think my subconscious fears and my budding sexuality are getting all mixed up.
Oh, okay. I don't want to hear about
it. So I think I'm being attacked by zombies, and I start screaming, "Do you want to make out?" And I make out with it.
Hmm.
I might just bunk with Graham and Gramps.
Okay, enough. Jean, Louise, you sleep in Tina's room. Tina, you're quarantined. You sleep alone. We'll strap you down or something.
Leave my lips free.
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 29, and I guess this is sort of take two, because I had recorded about half of an episode earlier today with a friend of mine who was a brand new co-host, and we just had way too many technical difficulties. So despite the Oscars probably starting at, 20-25 minutes, I think, or maybe even now, I did mention that I really don't care about the Oscars this year, so we are recording right now through the Oscars. So joining me once again, Brian Lipsitz. How are you?
Good. I feel like Wally West now. I'm like the Flash. Always here in a flash.
Let's hope Mike Wally Reinfleisch doesn't hear that, or else
I'll be Barry Allen then.
All right. I'm sure he would appreciate that. We have a couple things. We have a full show to do today, and I've been looking forward to it for a while because there's just some fantastic stuff we have to play for you later on. But the first thing I want to mention right now is a contest that we're helping someone out with. People, whether they're familiar or not, with the actress Taryn Southern. She was on Twitter promoting a contest for United Airlines that she was taking a part in, recorded a video, and submitted it to the contest. Basically, all you have to do to vote for her is go to her video and click the like button in the bottom left corner to get her votes on. But she was promoting that on Twitter. And she followed that up with an appearance on an internet streaming show called Stream, Lose, or Draw, which was more or less win, lose, or draw. And you play with people online. And I went and played, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. She was really great on the show. And I tweeted to her afterwards how great she was on it, and also said, if you'd like me to put an article up on the Geek Generation site, I would love to and help out. So I did that, and she recorded a podcast bumper for us that I'll play later on, which is awesome. At the time I posted the article, her video had about 496 likes. It's now up to over 900, but it's still not enough to be in first place. And it takes quite a few more to get up there. So we need to do everything we can to help out, Taryn. So if you want to go to thegeekgeneration.com, find the article. It should still be up on the front of the page. Find that. There's a link there to go and like her video if you're a Facebook user. If you don't want to go to our site and you want to go directly to it to vote to it, you can go to bit.ly/helptaryntravel. And that'll bring you right to the video that you need to click. She's currently number 3. And even if she doesn't win, she will still get something for being within the top 3. So we need to at least hold her in there, if not get her up to number 1.
Yeah, do it. She's, I don't know, many people may have seen her. She's been on Attack of the Show on G4. She's been on numerous things. She has a bunch of, you know, songs on iTunes, pretty comedy songs, and she's an awesome person, so she's really cool with her fans, so definitely do it.
Yeah, she seems really cool, and we at the Geek Generation are big fans of her, so anything we can do to help out, we're glad to do. The next thing I just want to mention really briefly is that the Rev Theory contest is still going on. In addition to the other contest, we have some of our own contests, and in conjunction with the band Rev Theory, there is an HD radio being given away. If you would like to enter for that contest, you can go to thegeekgeneration.com and you'll see the contest banner on the sidebar. You can click that, and there's information for how to enter on there. As I get that out of the way, yeah. But I went to the movies a couple times in the last week and posted some movie reviews on the channel, as well as Brian debuting his brand new comic book podcast, which seemed to go very well.
Nice. Yeah, got some good feedback so far, so looks good. So.
Awesome. And you'll be doing that every 2 weeks?
Yes, exactly. So, and every 2 weeks. So
cool. I can't wait to hear all the new people you'll be bringing into the Geek Generation world.
I hope so, yeah. So we'll see. Good first try. So we'll see how it goes.
Awesome. All right. Well, I did put up a couple movie reviews, one for Unknown and one for I Am Number 4. Those are in the podcast channel, and the written reviews are up on the site as well. But I got to tell you, Brian, this last week that I've gone to the movies has made me realize how much I miss having a girlfriend. And it's, I know that seems like an odd thing. It's not so much for the companionship of having someone at the movies with me. It's more for having that large purse to sneak my snacks in.
That's a good call. Good call.
Well, the thing is, I've been sneaking my snacks in the movies for a year. I feel like it's almost an art form at this point. Like, no one wants to pay those exorbitant prices for the snacks that they have at the movie theater. It's ridiculous.
$3 for, like, a soda. It's like $3.50 for a bottled water.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
They're at least three times as much as you would get them at any CVS.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I hear you on that part.
Yeah, so I figured, I've been doing this for the years. I'm like a snack stealth ninja getting this stuff into the theater. So I was going to throw out some of my tips to the audience as kind of a public service announcement and maybe help them out. There are a lot of theaters that will let you just carry stuff in, and it's shocking how many of them actually will, even though they say no outside food allowed. But I never take that chance because
you don't want to risk it.
Yeah. Who wants to be told to like dump their soda on the way in?
Yeah.
It sucks. And you don't want to run back out to the car either and throw in there. Sometimes you're running late. So here's some handy tips, but some of them you really have to prepare for. So just a little fair warning. I'm someone who likes to get to the theater at least like 10 or 15 minutes before the show starts. That's just me.
Yeah, that's like me. Yeah, I don't like to be – even as a kid, I did not like missing any of the trailers. If I miss a trailer, I feel like I missed something, even though, you know, half the time the trailers aren't even that good. But I always like to get there early so I could get a good seat, you know, center myself before the movie starts. And I don't know.
Absolutely. You want a good seat, and the trailers are awesome, even if you've seen them all on thegeekgeneration.com. They are still up on the screen in larger form. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the First Class trailer twice already. I thought that was really cool, even though I've watched it.
Oh, nice. See, I have not seen that in the theater yet. That's cool.
I actually saw it before both Unknown and I Am Number 4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all
so
right,
it's
then.
Getting out there.
Getting a lot
around.
Of play. Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And I saw Green Lantern before Unknown.
Oh, really? Okay, so at least they're finally playing it in the theater.
Yeah, I think that's the second time I've seen it in the theater, actually.
All right. Yeah, I think I did see it once as well, yeah.
But aside from that,
yep.
These are my tips for getting your snacks into the movie theater. First of all, those big boxes of movie candy are not going to fly. They're just going to look like these big, bulky, horribly shaped things. Nobody is shaped like that. So, well, I guess some people are, but... For the most part, people aren't shaped like that. So any box sticking out from whatever is going to look really awkward. So what I do is I actually make sure I either have the candy at home with me and I empty it out of the box into a Ziploc bag, or I bring the Ziploc bag with me, because then it allows it to a little less room it takes up. It conforms to your body shape a little more. Those Whoppers can roll around in almost what do you call those things? Ball bearing form. And just kind of situate into your body shape.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's one thing. Definitely repackage the things that are big and bulky and a lot more than they need to be. So that's one. In the cold weather months, it's good to wear layers. Because if you're sneaking stuff in, having the layers makes it less obvious. Like, I don't have a winter jacket. Instead, I wear layers. I have a sweatshirt underneath, like a hoodie, and then my fall jacket on top of that. So with my soda, I either put it in the inside pocket of my jacket, or I put it in the sweatshirt pocket and I have the jacket over it.
So what happens in the summer though? Because like I remember going to the movies in like a t-shirt and shorts, and then you're pretty much SOL. You're shot
a
lot.
But you're not, my friend. I've got this all covered.
There you go.
The last thing I'm going to say about the sweatshirt and the coat thing is it's also good to put a hand in your pocket in your coat when you're walking in. because let's say you have your soda in your left pocket, then put your hand in the left pocket of your coat because you can kind of stretch out the bulk a little more too, and it doesn't look like you're as oddly shaped, and no one's noticing that soda bottle. If you have your hand in the pocket, it just looks a little more natural.
Sweet.
Yeah. But the hot months, you did say, what do we do in the summer? Yep. Here's the thing. Carry in a sweatshirt.
Ooh.
Don't wear it. You can actually wrap your stuff up in your sweatshirt and kind of let the ends hang so it looks like you're carrying in a sweatshirt that way. And that way, hell yeah. How many times have you gone into the theater too and it's way colder than you thought it was?
This is true.
So you're preparing for multiple instances here.
There you go. Wow, you are like a stealth ninja. You got everything figured out.
Oh, I've been doing this stuff for way too long. So you have the sweatshirt you can bring in with you. You can wear it if it's too cold. You can put it behind your neck or something in the seat if the chair's uncomfortable. Or if you are with a lady that doesn't have a large purse, you're all set to be the gentleman and lend your sweatshirt to her so she can stay warm.
There you go.
Huh? Huh?
Very important tips.
That's right. And last thing is to always have your money or a prepaid ticket out in your hand or easily accessible, because the last thing you want to do is stumble around and fumble around looking
fumbling
for things.
Around looking for a ticket. Yeah.
All the things that you properly situated are now bumping out of place and stuff. And you don't want to have to deal with that. Go in, you have it in your hand, you pay, you get the ticket, you go right in the theater, boom, you're all set.
There you go.
So that's my public service announcement for the week. I hope it's very useful to the audience. I know you're feeling very educated right now, Brian. So
I am, actually. No, honestly, I didn't. It was good stuff.
So now when everybody at movie theaters starts carrying in sweatshirts, it's going to become the norm, and I'll have ruined my entire cover. But let's move on to geek outs and freak outs. What are you geeking out over this week, Brian?
Yay!
Let's see. Geek outs is kind of throwing me off. I haven't been prepared.
I know. I'm catching you last minute with
you. You're catching me off. Yeah, I know. So geek outs, I'm trying to think. Why don't we flip it and you do yours first so I can have a chance to think about it.
All right. Not a problem. My geek out this week is a video that I saw on YouTube that's kind of been circulating around. A lot of people may have seen it already, but if you have not, there is a man in England who created a working Angry Birds cake for his son's birthday. Did you see this?
No way. I have not seen this.
Oh, my God. I'm assuming most people listening know what Angry Birds is at this point. But basically, he shows a whole creation video where he breaks down the separate portions. He made, like, the edible platforms. He made all the wooden stacks out of cake as well. They're either cake or fondant, something like that. Mm-hmm. It looks like he sculpted the birds and the pigs out of fondant as well. He even made like some of the ice looking blocks and everything. So he stacks these all up. He has a working slingshot on the end of it. And the video ends with his son actually taking the slingshot and firing the birds and knocking down pieces of the cake. I was like, that is amazing.
That is incredible. I have to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was blown away. Not just because he had the idea to do this, but he didn't just make the cake. He made a working version of it. And that is really, really cool. But I'm going to put that link definitely in the show notes if people want to watch that video, because I thought that was just awesome.
Nice.
That's my only geek out this week, though.
All right. For me, I have, I don't know if you put a review up for this shit or not, but I did indeed purchase All-Star Superman and I watched it and I was thoroughly impressed with it, more than I thought I was going to be. I read the comics and I'm not, as I've mentioned before on here, I'm not a big fan of writer Grant Morrison, but, I know a lot of comic people are, but, he wrote All-Star Superman, the comic, but the movie, as we mentioned on my comic podcast, was written by Dwayne McDuffie, who sadly passed away the same day it came out. But, he did a really, really good job of condensing the 12 issues into a 75-minute movie, and I just thought it was really well done, well, voice acted, well directed, and a great little Superman story that, while it's a little out there at times, I thought it was very well done, so.
Well, I actually had, not to jump too far ahead, but
no.
All-Star Superman was actually one of my freakouts.
All right, then. We're going to get in a war. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Well, it's not too often we have some differing opinions here.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
All-Star Superman, for me, I'm not familiar with the story. I didn't read it beforehand, so maybe I'm going into this a lot more blind than a lot of people.
No, but that's good, because I don't know how the average person... So, yeah, I'm interested.
Average? No, you dare call me average? No, I know what you mean. I'm more uninformed into this than I am a lot of the other ones.
Yeah.
When you're talking like general DC universe and I watch the other ones, I get a better sense of where I am than this one. This one had a lot. One of my things was they didn't have a lot of characters that I was familiar with. Like those two Kryptonian characters kind of came out of nowhere. That whole sequence with them didn't even belong in the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I said, it was a very quirky series to begin with. It was very out there. Morrison has he's a Scottish writer. He's very into the like making you think more than you should have to. Very like so. Again, it's weird. Trust me, the movie was easier to understand than the book ever was. The book is like pretty crazy. So
I thought there were some great concepts in it. Like I love the idea of Superman challenging Lex to step up when he's gone and kind of do whatever he said he's going to be doing.
That was my favorite part of the. Yeah, that whole sequence was my favorite part of the entire movie. Yeah, I agree. That was
my favorite sequence was when Lex and Clark are together.
They're in the prison. Yeah.
Oh my god, that was good.
Yeah. So like there's kind of like the series. There's sequences of brilliance that like make you go, oh, this is really really awesome.
Yeah.
I maybe it's just because I wasn't impressed with the book as much as other people that the movie seemed like something better to me because I was like, wow, they actually sort of normalized it down for the. But maybe I guess I wasn't right on that part, but I don't know. I enjoyed it, but again, like I said, I read the book, so that's probably why more so.
Yeah.
So and plus it's, again, it's not the average Superman story. It's trying to take Superman and like doing something different with him, but in the same way, keeping true to his roots. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought there were some, like I said, there were some great concepts and some great ideas. The execution just fell a little flat for me. I didn't care for the art style either because they had
they had
Aeon Flux lips.
Yeah, that they were trying to match the style of the comic, which was very blocky.
Right.
And, like you said, yeah, exactly.
Which they always try to do, and a lot of the times it works. Like when they did Ed McGuinness's stuff, it was great. When they did Michael Turner's, it was great. But then this was...
Yeah. This is Frank Quitely, which is very... He's got a very... I'm not a big fan of his art either, but they tried to...
I don't dig the cape just going down to his ass. Like, let's get that thing all the way to the floor. Stuff like that.
I don't know. How do you feel about the way they portray Clark Kent as very frumpy and like oafish and overweight, and even Superman, to a certain extent, is kind of like chunky. He's not like muscular, and that was their whole thing. That was they wanted to do that. How do you feel about that?
I was fine with that. I thought they it didn't even like surface. Like it wasn't a noticeable thing to me. So they definitely accomplished it flawlessly.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know I like the big, muscular Superman, but they did it well enough in here that it was still way believable.
Yeah. I thought Lois, was a very strong part of it.
Absolutely.
I thought they did a good job with Lois. I think that was one of the things I really liked. And, not having Dana Delaney do the voice, but I thought Christina Hendricks did a really good job with it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. Sorry.
No, that's fine. did you have any other geek outs?
I think that was my only one. It wasn't a real big week for geek outs for me. I can't really think of any now.
Okay. Freak outs. Would you like me to start or?
No, I got one.
All right,
I got
go
one.
For it.
Oh, freak out!
There's a little geek out in it, but yeah, part of it is a freak out. Smallville this week. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I was kind of disappointed in it that, I don't know. Can we say spoilers or do you want me not to?
We'll preface it right now. Fast forward, I don't know, what, 2-3 minutes? If you don't want to hear what happened on Smallville this week.
Yeah. It's nothing major anyway. It is pretty major.
You can't spoil an episode that really wasn't that good anyway.
No. So basically they try to do the Hangover, and you mentioned that there are a lot of other shows in the CW have.
Yeah, One Tree Hill just did it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And, it looked like they were having fun making the episode. Like, they look like – I really enjoyed the end where they're all watching the videotape, and they did look like they were having fun, like, filming it. So I thought that was good. I didn't like the fact that they blindly let people in to not knowing that this was Chloe's last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like that they gave her a happy ending, but I didn't like the fact that they sort of tried to condense 10 years of her character into 5 minutes and writing her off.
Right.
So – but – there's always been, for the past 10 years, rumors, oh, she's going to die, and that's going to lead him to be Superman. I was happy that they gave her the happy ending, although I'm wondering if they did that because they decided to just bring her into the comics now, so I'm wondering if that changed, if that was a mandate, they couldn't kill her off anymore. I don't know. That's speculation. But, I was disappointed, and it was supposed to, like, yeah, okay, it was comedic at points, like watching Clark be drunk and Oliver be drunk, but it just kind of fell flat for me. The geek out in it, though, was the mention of Batman and Wonder Woman, I thought, finally, after. Although I know you weren't as excited about it as I was. But
I was pumped about the mention of them. I don't like the way Chloe brought up Bruce because she wouldn't know it was Bruce.
Yeah.
I could see how Batman would be on her radar, but she'd have no idea who it was.
A lot of people were bitching also that, like, the fact that Chloe knows about Batman and Wonder Woman before Clark was kind of a crappy thing.
I don't think that's big a deal.
I didn't either, but people were all, like, ranting on, like, other boards.
They do know that Chloe didn't really exist in the comics, right? Until the show came on. Good Lord.
God knows.
People get way too fanboyish sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that was my only freak out, I think. So.
All right. But, yeah, I'm on board with you with that one. And you are right. There were worst episodes. I do remember the zombie one and the vampire one. There were worst episodes. I was overreacting, but
no, I understand. It was not one of. It definitely was the worst of the season, hands down. I'll give you that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Especially when we got such a fantastic episode the week before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, that episode was great.
It was.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, that should have been a geek out. Yeah, that was a great episode. Yeah. So, I guess bottom line is it kind of sucks to have it be one of the last seven episodes of all time. And they wasted it on something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, moving
my
on.
Only other freak out aside from All-Star Superman is lately I've been getting a ton of spam text messages. I get at least one a day, and they're all stupid little things like, you've been selected for $200 of free gas, or we can unlock your inner mime, just send us money. Like, they're ridiculous. It's not so much that they're wasting my time with these, it's also that I pay an extra, like, I think it's $5 a month for 200 text messages. I don't have unlimited text.
And they're using up your texts.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't want to take the chance not to read it when it's a valid phone number because I might just not have that person's phone number.
Yeah. I understand that. That's annoying.
Yeah. So
I've been getting random, like, not call. Yeah. Call random number this call, like, the past 3 weeks. And I would answer it, and then it would make like a almost like a modem sound, like a fax machine.
Yes.
And then it would leave me a voicemail, and it would just be a fax machine. And I'm like, okay. And they would do it like once a day for the past 3 weeks, and thankfully it stopped. But I have no idea what the hell it was.
I kept getting a phone call from this one number, and I can recognize it now at this point. It's if you pick up, it's a recording of like a home realty thing, and they want you to like sign up or go to this website and all that. It's unbelievable. Like, I can understand telemarketers hitting up your home, but the whole cell phone thing, I thought that was illegal.
I thought it was too, but do they have a do not call list for that now?
I think so. I'm on the do not call list. I'm getting calls.
That doesn't even matter anymore. Apparently they find ways around it.
Yeah, I got to the point where I got it enough that I went online and I tried to report the number, and they're like, that number's not a part of the do not call list, so you can't report them. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? How am I supposed to report a number then that's like telemarketing me?
That sucks.
And they're not even doing it as a person. At least pay somebody to annoy me. We need more jobs in this country. Don't make a machine do it.
Yeah, do a machine, computerized machine.
Come on.
Damn you, machines are taking over.
I know. Yeah. Skynet.
Exactly. Soon it's going to be the Terminator. There's going to be Terminators walking around and those things flying in the air.
You just won $2 million. Call the number now. Send money to India. Get in the chopper.
It's not a tumor, all right.
It's not a tumor. Yeah, I know. My Arnold's off, too. I haven't done it in a long time.
Right. Mine's not much better.
My Connery's better, but I haven't felt the need to use it yet.
I heard something that he's in bad health or something lately.
No!
Someone said he's like in seclusion because he's in not in good health, but I don't know if it's true or not. I read it somewhere.
That sucks. Well, he's been in seclusion for quite a while anyway, hasn't he?
Yeah, because he's done with acting. Yeah. So he hasn't. So I don't know. It could just be one of those weird things. Like
I hope
when someone a couple months ago said Jordy LaForge, what the heck's his real name? LeVar Burton was dead. They said and died in a car accident. And a bunch of
people please, they love doing that stuff.
And then I'm like, dude, he's on Twitter. He's alive.
He was just on Big Bang Theory this week. It was really funny, actually.
Exactly. So I just think that's funny how people run with.
By the way, how old is he? Because he looks damn good.
He's got to be pretty old. Because I mean, dude, he was on Reading Rainbow when we were kids,
right?
And he was like. Yeah, so he's got to be pushing, like, at least mid 40s, or I would think, unless he did it when he was really young, early 40s. I don't know.
Guy looks pretty really good for his age.
Yeah, he's aged really well.
Yeah. Go LeVar.
All right, I'm going to interject and say that I'm hungry, so I may be eating a ham sandwich while we do this. But
you do that. Well, that's okay. Do you have any more freakouts, sir?
Nope.
All right. Well, then we're going to take a break right now anyway. So we'll come back with some listener emails and then the news block. We're going to do a little bit of a shorter episode this week just because we want to keep it tight and get this out to you as quickly as possible. But yeah, we'll take a break right now and we will be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the biweekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the geek generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great. Because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hello, Taryn Southern here, and you're listening to The Geek Generation.
We are back, and even though I didn't ask a poll question last week, we got a couple emails. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I was kind of pumped, so we'll take a look at those.
It is awesome.
The first one comes in from G1. He says, "Hey, Rob, I just wanted to chime in on a few things from your latest episode. To be honest, I thought it was quite dry, especially the first half of the show. Without a co-host, your speech pattern seemed very unnatural. You had that William Shatner, I'm reading off a script voice." Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I warned the audience I'd probably be fairly dull compared to.
I don't think it was on the show. I told you on the comic show, but no, I listened to it too, and I mean, I understand that point, and I did think towards the end you got kind of dry, but I didn't think it was like through the entire thing actually to me, but that was just me.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. So,
well, during the news, I do a lot more reading, so I can understand that. But when I don't feel like I'm talking to somebody,
yeah,
then
it's hard to,
yeah. If I'm not actually talking to someone, you have to pretend you are, and I tried to do that a little bit, but
yeah,
it takes practice. So I understand. Yeah. That's totally valid feedback. I understand that. He also goes on to say, not entirely your fault having a co-host bail out on you at the last minute is like going to the dentist and having a surprise root canal. But yeah, it's a good point. But I hope that doesn't dissuade you from trying it again. It was an experiment. Some experiments work and some don't. You learn from them and that makes you better. Agreed. I think it's something I do want to do again at some point. It was fun. Although I don't know how much I want to do it again, but I think if you do another solo episode, you should consider venting a bit more. I know you've asked the audience before how personal you should get during your episodes. Perhaps a solo episode is the time to do just that. Again, it's an experiment. Don't lose heart. I have some good rants in me every now and then, I suppose.
Yeah, there you go. Use it more of like a venting post if you do a solo one. Like, yeah, like you said, that.
I'd be like podcast blogging.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it's like having your own blog, but instead of doing it on a podcast.
Some people podcast for that reason, I think, but I don't know how many people would listen to that.
They do. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a different – it may be – I don't know how much of our audience – yeah, exactly. I don't know how much of our audience would enjoy that or how much they wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'd unsubscribe if I was doing that every episode.
where's the geek talk?
Yeah, my life's not that interesting anyway. Lastly, he says, regarding the movie reviews that I went over and the rental recommendations, he said, you had some really interesting rental reviews this week. I'm rather surprised you took the time to watch Charlie St. Cloud. I think it's one of the movies that geeks tend to immediately dismiss without a second thought. Mm-hmm. I know that I did. Given your review, I intend to watch it this week. Props to you for having an open mind. Anyway, love the show. Stick with it. I appreciate that.
I agree because actually Scott and I went to see whatever movie was out when that movie was in trailer form. They were showing the trailer for it, and we both were like giggling and going, "Oh my god, that looks like the worst movie ever made. Who would ever see that?" And then like when you post about it, I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "You watched it?" I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, you know, it made me take pause and think of it again. So it wasn't like it is a good thing that because a lot of those movies I will just write off and go, "Oh god, well, I would never want to watch that in my life."
Right,
you know?
Right. I tried not to write off a lot of movies last year because, like I had said before, during the top 10 movies episode, I watched about 70 out of last year's releases, and that's a lot of movies.
That is a lot of movies.
And you're going to get a lot of crap built in there. And I was totally prepared for crap, and I got something a lot better than I expected. So I was I was really happy with that. And it's not too often that that happens, though. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see if people, when they watch it, if they agree with me or not. I'd like to hear back from people on that one.
Cool.
The second email comes in from superfan Chris Tong. He says, here's the answer to this week's poll question. Who's the best podcast host? That would be Rob V of the Geek Generation. Oh, wait, there wasn't a poll question this week. Oh, well, I will stand firm with my answer to this week's made-up poll question. Keep it real, Rob. Have a good one. P.S. You put on a hell of a solo show. Quit being so harsh on yourself. You did an excellent job, and to be honest, it was one of my favorite shows to date. Wow, that caught me off guard. Honestly, it did.
There you go.
Yeah, G1 it didn't say it was necessarily bad. He just thought it was a little dry.
No.
And superfan Chris Tong from Wichita was saying that it was one of his favorite episodes so far. So, hey.
Yeah.
It looks like I have some flexibility. I can move around here. I like that. Awesome, awesome. So, thank you to both of you guys. I don't have a poll question prepared for this week, but maybe we'll come up with one by the end of the episode. I have nothing particularly in mind, but we are going.
I could think of an easy one that we could do, but I don't know if you really want to do it. But I know you're not a big, like we said, we're not big fans of the Oscars. But you could say what, because I'm sure there's going to be outrage if someone's going to get pissed off about something.
Oh yeah,
we could say what's the most what movie do you feel, what award do you feel got robbed the most? Like what movie should have won? What was your biggest freak out? You know,
all right, so how should I phrase this?
I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. Right. I just had it in my brain, and I'm like, this is on-air idea thinking.
Yeah, I know. We're brainstorming and scheming right now. What was the biggest Oscar
robbery?
I was going to say mishap, but that's not right. Robbery, you think? Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah.
What was the biggest? I'm typing this out. I don't know if people can hear it.
I hear you typing
Oscar. Robert, let me slow down the show entirely to type this out. There we go. What was the biggest Oscar robbery? Okay, I like that. So the poll question this week, supplied by Brian Lipsitz. What was the biggest Oscar robbery? If you think there is an award that went to somebody or something that it shouldn't have and something else took its place, send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter.
Sweet.
Sweet.
There you go.
I love it. With that... let's go right into news. Top story this week. Deadline reports that Warner Brothers is developing a remake of its 1992 film, The Bodyguard.
No, they're not. Are you serious? I did not read this.
This is true, but you know what? I don't give a crap because top story this week, Charlie Sheen is fucking insane.
I was about to say, I'm like, how is that not the top story?
Oh my god.
He went that shit crazy.
He went absolutely nuts, and I love every second of it.
He has taken Mel Gibson's place as the craziest man in the world of Hollywood.
He has.
He's gone batshit crazy. And it's awesome to watch the fall. Although I can't really say it's a fall when you're on a Learjet with two porn stars and going to some island and probably doing lots of... although the drug part is probably not cool. But.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, that whole Bodyguard thing was actually true. Warner Brothers is working on.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I thought you were...
I didn't just make it up. They're actually developing a remake.
Why? God.
I don't know. I don't know where the audience is that's clamoring for this.
I was just going to say, didn't they say enough with the first one? I mean, come on. I'm sure Kevin Costner is looking to redo his role.
When you're remaking movies from the 90s already, that's a big problem.
Well, they're remaking movies from 2002. Let's not go there with Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's a reboot. That's a little different. Well, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Charlie Sheen's nuts. Due to some recent comments Charlie Sheen made on a radio show, CBS Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television have released the following statement. Quote, based on the totality of Charlie Sheen's statements, conduct, and condition, CBS and Warner Brothers Television have decided to discontinue production of 2.5 Men for the remainder of the season.
So how long do you think before he changes his name, his father changes his name back to Estevez, like doesn't want to be associated with the Sheen name anymore?
Please don't call yourself Sheen anymore. You're driving me crazy.
Before we get into the funny parts, I do feel bad for all the people that are losing their jobs and money because of his stupidity.
Yeah, just because this guy's a douche nozzle, it's time to
put
a whole bunch of people out of work.
Yeah, that's the sad part. But other than that, it's fucking hysterical to listen to.
Oh, it's awesome. Rantings. And yeah. So for the people that are unaware what exactly happened, Charlie Sheen called into the Alex Jones radio show, and I guess they're buddies or something. And Charlie just went on this like entire rant that lasted, I don't know. He was on the show for a good like 40, 45 minutes. I have the first 19 minutes. I listened to the whole thing because it's just gold. But I only took out the first.
He's completely out of his mind.
What's that?
I said he's completely out of his mind.
He is. He is. I took out the first like 19 minutes of it because after that point, it just becomes like stupid and it's not funny anymore. And they bring like another guy on the show that's they call Nails, who's like a baseball player or something. And it just got boring to me. So if it's boring to me, I know it's going to be boring to everyone else. But the first 19 minutes are awesome. I'm not just going to play it straight through. Cause we'll stop and make our comments as it goes along, but this is just too good not to listen to. So let's go right into this crap because this is amazing.
Almighty, almighty! This is PBR Street Gang. Do you copy? Over.
PBR Street Gang. This is Almighty, almighty. I copy. Over.
All right, not to stop it right away, but
I was just gonna say the same.
Do you notice the nicknames going on here?
Yeah, over, good buddy. PBR. I'm like, what did he call him? Like the
PBR Street Gang. Do you know what Charlie is calling himself though?
No.
Almighty, almighty.
Fantastic.
What kind of an ego do you have to refer to yourself as Almighty, almighty?
A pretty big one. I think he's got a fucking huge one. Apparently, I'm sorry, I'm dropping the F bomb a little too much.
Ah, whatever.
But yeah, he's definitely got a big one. You can tell he thinks he's the shit.
Oh, I'm not stopping. This is so good.
Over.
I don't want to hold it up for too long.
Well, Charlie Sheen, you haven't been back with us since about a year and a few months ago with your message to President Obama, your 20 minutes with the president that we just re-aired before you joined us. It's great to have you, Charlie. What's your take?
It's still topical. It's a timeless message.
It's
a timeless message. It's still right there in the fold.
Well, it certainly is. What's your message to President Obama refusing to answer the bullet points that you put down in that key document of the questions surrounding the tragic attacks of 9/11?
Well, I would say to B.O., like, how much faith can I possibly have in you to run this entire country when 20 questions from a high school dropout sitcom actor appear to be too much to handle for you and your staff? It's like you've had almost 2 years to deal with this. I wrote them in 1 hour, and it's like, you know, sorry, but you, sir, obviously...
I know, I was right about to.
First of all, so we've got a guy who's a known cocaine addict, drug addict, alcoholic, talking about how he is going to judge our president of the United States.
Right.
That's hilarious to me. That's
right.
Hilarious.
And he's putting his faith into a president that won't take the time to address his questions. Guess what? I have a lot of faith in a president that's smart enough to not waste his time addressing the questions of a sitcom actor in Hollywood.
Yeah. So, you know, let's put it this way. Either whether you like Obama or you don't, that doesn't matter. The fact that Charlie Sheen thought he was like, trying to, you know, oh man, I don't have much faith in him. Dude, I wouldn't have much, you're a fucking drug addict.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What makes Charlie Sheen important enough that he requires the full attention of the guy running our entire country?
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
The ego. It continues.
You mean running wild.
Oh, I love every second of this.
A coward in a cheap suit. And the bottom line, Alex, is I'm still here. His schedule is public knowledge. It's rocket science. This is not. Quit hiding. It's embarrassing, dude. Next subject.
Well, just briefly getting back to Obama for a moment, we did a lot of research for those 20 questions. Things like, Mr. President, 6 of the 10 commissioners and most of the lawyers on the 9/11 commission say that the official story is a lie. Please respond to this. Or, why did Building 7 fall at free fall speed? Please respond to this. But they don't want to respond to it.
Wait, did that guy just say that they did a lot of research for this, and then 5 seconds prior, Charlie Sheen said it, he wrote it in like an hour?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Obviously, this radio host is obviously if he's close friends with Charlie Sheen, obviously he's definitely very well researched and educated, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, Chloe. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By the way, this guy's a big conspiracy theorist too. I'll just make sure people know
fantastic.
That. Oh yeah. So he's right up there with the wise ones.
Yeah. Well, I think just I think somebody is running at him right now with a tape recording of what I just spoke and said, they're on to us, man. He's back. We thought he was dead. Nice try, fellas. Anyway, enough of that. They know the score on that. Let's get the more, you know, contemporary stuff because just, you know, what's going on and people are so, you know, mystified by this odyssey that refuses to stop calling itself Charlie Sheen.
Absolutely, Charlie. It was good to see you a few weeks ago at your home. You are looking great, and you're completely clean, aren't you?
100%. You know, here's your first pee test. Next one goes in your mouth. No, you won't get high.
The hell does that even mean?
It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking. Quit panicking. No panic, no judgment.
And you're working out even a couple times a day sometimes.
Well, yeah, but there's only one time in the gym, if you catch my drift, Alex. whatever. We're not live, are we?
No, we're live. Charlie, speaking of that, the media, you don't want to go there. You don't want to ever defend yourself, but you've told me privately most of the stuff, most of the names, it's not true. But what is going on with the women in your life?
The goddesses. Alex, the goddesses. Let me just say this about the goddesses. I don't believe the term is good enough. But when you're bound by these terrestrial descriptions, you must use the best choice available, right?
Yes.
So if you think about it, dude, it's like I'm 0-3 with marriage, with nary an excuse, but like in baseball, the scoreboard doesn't lie, never has. So what we all have is a marriage of the heart, of the hearts.
All right. Stop.
You know, to sully and contaminate her.
Yes.
All right, first of all, I don't know how many people know this, but he's been hanging around with porn stars. So he's trying to equate these terrestrial bodies and goddesses as 22 and 24-year-old porn stars. No offense to any people out there who may be porn stars that are listening, but I'm sorry. You're not goddesses, and you're not the terrestrial beings of the world, and this guy's pretty much bragging, saying, like, oh, it's marriage of the heart. Dude, you're with porn stars. You're not. It's nothing to do with the heart. Trust me.
It's a marriage of money.
Yeah, marriage. You've got a lot of money and drugs, and they'll probably do things for it.
We get to fly on a private jet, and that's a marriage. I'm married to your wings.
You know, sort of radically disrespect this union with a shameful contract is something I will, leave to the amateurs and the Bible grippers. The Bible grippers. And then I just got to add this. There was a whole firestorm yesterday about Brooke being, a part of our crew. And this, let me just say this. This is all I'm going to say about it is that where there were four, there are now three. But bye, Brooke, and good luck in your travels. You're going to need it.
All right, badly. Pause. All right. This is his ex-wife he's talking about. That his wife, he's saying basically, too bad you don't want to be a part of our porn star family, because I don't know if you've read the other articles, but yes, he has deluded himself into thinking he wants to have a porn star family.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I don't even know what drugs he's on, but they must be good ones. So apparently, he's saying goodbye to his wife. She was supposed to be on the jet with them, and now he's saying there are now three of them, him and the two porn stars, and she's out of his life. So that must be fantastic for her to hear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he seems very happy about it, and is definitely wishing her well.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can see that.
And apparently his new buzzword is winning, and you're going to be really sick of hearing it by the end of this garbage, you know?
She will.
Oh.
So
Brooke did go along with you, but she's not there now.
No, she's not there now, and we are, and I don't know, winning, anyone?
Winning.
Rhymes with winning.
I love the guys. Like,
anyone? Yeah, that'll be God. Make the rules. Oops.
Well, Charlie, I've known you for six and a half years or so, and I knew you when you were completely clean, and then I've known you since. But the point is, now I've never seen you, when I was out at your house and talking on the phone, so energized as
cocaine.
You are now. I mean, you're on fire, as Nails told the news yesterday. I mean, I agree with that description.
Well, I think it was Nails that said, and I was really, really flattered because he got it right, that I'm not, you know, he might be Nails, but I'm freaking bayonets, you know? I am battle-tested bayonets, bro, and I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second, and I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every freaking turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls, you know? I'm dealing with soft targets, and it's just... You know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity. And, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives. And then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well,
right,
no,
stop.
You never will stop.
Oh, that's when I lost it. That
yeah,
was when I lost
right?
it. When he was like, you and you're ugly with your ugly wives and your ugly children. And you look at me and you go, I'm like, okay, dude, one, you're not winning. You're a laughing stock because you're used to be somewhat of a, okay, he was somewhat, I don't think he was ever an A-lister, but he was, you know, a well-known name, and now he's a complete joke, and everyone knows he's a fucking complete joke. And I just think it's hilarious how he's, like, going on this rant because he thinks he's awesome. And not to jump ahead, but I'm not going to happen to be to have CNN on the other night. I think it was the night after this debacle happened, and they had Dr. Drew on, who deals with addiction and all rehab stuff. And he basically said, after listening to the interview, he's, like, completely convinced that he was definitely either had just taken drugs or he was in the middle of like a drug haze where, because half of his stuff doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's extremely worried that he's going to do something crazy and probably die soon because he doesn't sound right. So,
yeah. And this is all the result of like the growing up in Hollywood lifestyle too.
Yep.
He thinks he's winning because he has beautiful people all around him. And what it looks have to do with comprehension. Like, most would say Charlie Sheen's a good-looking guy, but as evidenced by the stupidity of this entire rant, there's clearly no correlation between intelligence and attractiveness. And he's saying
and
that people that are ugly won't understand what's going on.
And yeah, exactly. So apparently he's a winner.
Yeah. He clearly sounds like a winner.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Trying to sit back and enjoy the show.
I'm enjoying it.
You know?
Wow, I am speechless. Later we're going to get into Apocalypse Now, but what comes to mind is when we were there a few weeks ago watching it in your home theater, when Colonel Kurtz is saying you can kill me, but
you
can't.
You have the right to kill me, but you do not have the right to judge me. Boom. That's the whole movie. That's life. That's life. There's nobility in that. There's focus. It's genuine. It's crystalline. It's pure. And it's available to everybody. You just shut your traps and put down your McDonald's, your vaccines, your Us Weekly, your TMZ, and the rest of it, you know, and focus on something that matters.
Yeah. Interesting, too, how he mentioned right there to ignore TMZ because it doesn't matter. And yet, I'm going to read a statement later on that he sent to TMZ.
He sent them a letter the next night or the day after.
After CBS announced the Two and a Half Men done with production thing, those are the people that he sent it to, even though they don't matter.
So apparently they matter, but he just wants to sound cool. So yeah, everyone give up all your McDonald's and your Us Weeklies, and honestly, he sounds like he's completely insane.
Yeah,
batshit insane.
Well, he is, and I love it.
But continue. Yeah, I love it. It's funny. It's like watching a car wreck. You can't look away.
Yeah.
But you can't focus on things that matter if all you've been is asleep for 40 years. Funny how sleep rhymes with sheep. You know. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
No, Charlie.
We don't care anymore, Alex. We don't care.
Is it fair to
talk about this work thing, bro? Let's get to the work business because there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors. Imagine that with the media.
Well, sure. Let's go over that because when I was there 2 weeks ago at your house, you looked great, totally clean. You were working out super hard. I went and worked out with you at that private gym. I mean, they put you through an incredible workout.
How many times does this guy need to mention he's hanging out with Charlie?
Yeah, he's just like, oh, man, you know, I saw you and you look good and you look clean. And you were in the gym, you were working out. And first of all, they sent him to rehab and then he walked out of rehab 2 days later. That's why they don't want him back at work, you dumb, you know what?
Yeah.
That's stupid. It's like, you know, stop lying to the public. You're supposed to be a radio host, you know, at least have some sort of, like, credibility, but apparently not.
Every time this guy's referring to Charlie, he's like, oh, when we were at your house, when we were in your private theater, when we were working out together. It seems like the only workout this guy in his mind is to get in bed with him.
Could be, man. It's not, it sort of sounds like he's like, might as well at this point.
And I saw a video of this guy on his show. Trust me. He's not doing any working out. Trust
me. No, he's not.
you know, you're there exercising in the pool later, and you're saying, look, I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go right now. And then they add the lie that, oh, you don't have a hernia. Well, you know what? I've seen your hernia. I've got the same hernia in my belly button, and your hernia was hurt. But again, you don't want to defend yourself on that and you know, tell folks the truth about it. But the point is that it seems like there's some people in your life that are trying to demonize you. They're doing these vanity cards, talking about how they're going to outlive you. It seems pretty darn aggressive.
Yeah, I didn't care about that vanity card. In fact, I went straight on with that one and just dispelled that. And that was actually, one of the few compliments that clown has paid me in freaking almost a decade. but I'm excited to get back to work.
I don't know if people know what he's talking about when he's talking about the vanity card there. For those unaware, Chuck Lorre, the guy who writes Two and a Half Men, writes The Big Bang Theory, amongst I don't know how many other shows.
A lot of other CBS shows.
Yeah. He likes to put 2-second vanity cards at the end of his shows that are basically writing outlets for him. Like, he'll just write his own, like, creative little piece there. And the one that they're referring to, Chuck had made a joke about living a healthy lifestyle and saying, if Charlie Sheen lives longer than he does, he's going to be pissed because he's living really healthy. Charlie's basically killing himself, and
he's been, yeah, destructive.
And it was a little joke, and Charlie got really pissed about it.
Yeah, the truth hurts.
Yeah, it does. Bitch.
And not to completely discount what you just talked about, it's just if I bring up these turds, these little homunculus losers, there's no reason to then, you know, bring them back into the fold, because I have real fame. They have nothing. They have zero. They have that night, and I will forget about them as the last image of them exits my beautiful home, and they will get out there and they will sell me, and then they will lose, and they will lose the rest of their lives as they think about me and my life the rest of their life. So it's just, there's no, it's, again, bring me a challenge, somebody, bring me a freaking challenge, because, you know, it just ain't there. Winning.
But you're ready winning. To go to, back to work right now.
Well, yeah, but Alex, I gotta tell you, man, and you know, I'm tired of being told, like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull, S-H-I-T. Let me just say this, that it's nothing this side of deplorable that a certain Haim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Haim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write. Clearly someone who believes he is above the law. Well, you've been warned, dude. Bring it.
What law?
Charlie, everybody that I know that knows you, and I know you well, talks about how behind the scenes you give incredible amounts of money to charity. Oh, you
sure.
Help people. You give things to everybody.
Including
porn
stars.
You go out and help firemen and school children. I mean, you, but genuinely, are a nice guy, but you've always just let people attack you and lie about you. And in the years I've known you, and in the years people that have known you for decades, they say Charlie is on fire. And after he came out of what he's been in the last 7 months, he is not putting up with people trying to push him around anymore. Is that fair to say?
It's an understatement. You know, I'm sorry, man. I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips, and I'm, you know, at most of the time, and this is, you know, this includes naps. You know, I'm an F-18, bro.
Wait. He's an F-18 napper?
Does he think he's still in Hot Shots? Does he, like, not know where he is? This isn't Hot Shots, but Durr.
God damn.
Oh, my Lord. I can't handle this. It's too much.
Oh, but it's so good.
It is so good.
Stop.
And I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground.
Are you going to announce your new tattoo here on air?
Yeah, why not? Because it's just pure and complete gnarlyisms. Yeah, I sat with two, F-18 Top Gun radical fire napalm dropping pilots in my movie theater watching the attack sequence, the chopper attack sequence on the beachhead to go surfing because they wanted to, and those people were in their way. And I was getting a tattoo during the death from above, and it was it's the banner from the death card that Kilgore is throwing on his victims. But there's also falling from it is the apple from the giving tree. There's my life. Deal with it. Oh wait, can't process it. Losers winning. Bye bye.
When are we going to see this tattoo?
Well, if my man...
I'm pretty sure that guy's just salivating at the thought of seeing some Charlie skin.
I was thinking that. He's just like, oh, I can't wait to see it.
If my man Steve is listening, I'm sure it'll be headed to you in you know, just a matter of moments.
Well, that's awesome, Charlie. I know you've got some surprises coming up in the next few weeks, but we'll let you roll those surprises out. Moving on along here, Major League 3, your other two were giant hits, and I knew the inside baseball of some of the planning for that. You told me about it a while back, but now it looks like it's really starting to come together. Tell us about when we're going to be looking for Major League 3 and who's going to be in it.
Major League 3, I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't care. It's being directed and written by a genius named David Ward, who, won the Academy Award at 23 for writing The Sting. And it was his pen and his vision that created the classic that we know today as Major League. In fact,
wow.
A lot of people think the movie's called Wild Thing, as they should.
Pompous ass. Nobody thinks it's called Wild Thing. Nobody.
Apparently, no one else was in that movie except Charlie Sheen, apparently. Apparently, no one else in the movie. Like, no one. That is the most egotistical thing I've heard in a long, long time.
I've never, ever, ever heard anyone refer to it as Wild Thing.
No. To be fair, when they released it on Blu-ray, they called it the Wild Thing Edition. Like, to, you know, claim it as a new edition. But, yeah, that's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
But whatever, I agreed to do it. There's one deal point that Jim Robinson, a wonderful man, and Morgan Creek, a great company, need to work out. If they want me in it, it's a smash. If they don't, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat.
Wow, I'm sure the movie company's happy to hear that.
Oh, boy, I tell you, because the word in the news is, I mean, all over the L.A. Times, New York Times, is that it's a done deal. You're in it, and it's coming.
Wow. Well, I didn't get that text yet, you know?
Well, as we know, the mainstream media gets a lot of things wrong, Charlie. Side issue.
No way. Those guys, damn.
Why did you decide to, basically unleash yourself here on this broadcast?
Because I'm just, I don't know, why give an interview when you can leave a warning, you know? That it's just not, I'm not fair game. I'm not a soft target. It's over. There's a new sheriff in town. And he has an army of assassins. Oh, we must speak of the Vatican assassins, yes. I don't read anything after it comes out because I will not waste my precious time on such ridiculous nonsense. But I understand, according to you, that there was a lot of curiosity about the Vatican assassin. And I'm like, guys, it's right there in the thing. Duh, we work for the Pope. We murder people. We're Vatican assassins. How complicated can it be?
All right, stop for a sec. Nothing to do what he was talking about, but just the fact that no matter what he says, the host is like, ah! He basically is like, he could say, you're a piece of shit to the guy. He's like, ah! Like, he just thinks he's the greatest guy in the world, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, he wants Charlie Sheen so bad that he can taste it. It's just hilarious. I didn't notice it the first time I listened to it, but this time, that's all I can. He does the exact same laugh every single time. Now, obviously, he doesn't think anything is even funny because he just does the same stale laugh every single time.
Yeah, it's not real at all.
It's so put on. Obviously.
He's in love with him, that's all.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
What they're not ready for is guys like you and I and Nails. And all the other gnarly gnarlingtons in my life
gnarling.
That we are hyper.
All right, he's definitely on drugs.
Vatican assassin warlocks.
What in blue hell is he talking about?
See where that goes.
I have no idea.
Oh, man, I tell you, Charlie, you, and of course, we can tell the inside baseball. It's kind of a sick joke for me. One of my sickest forms of entertainment is people that make stuff up about me, just the pure baloney. And one time I was at your house and I was showing him stuff where they're claiming that we work for the Pope and stuff, and me and Charlie are Vatican assassins. So that's kind of the roots of that for the media. And Charlie called the great San Francisco Giants closer when he was visiting his house. Brian Wilson. Hey, what was the full quote? You called him just awesome Vatican assassin.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because he's nothing shy of that, and it is his job to go out there and embarrass people, embarrass them, not just beat them, but embarrass them in the process. And he's as radical as you think he might be.
Pause. What's with his 80s terminology of radical and gnarly and radical and gnarly and the gnarlingtons? Is he like stuck in the 1980s? Does he not know what year it is?
He might not.
I think he's like, when he does a lot of drugs, he thinks it's the 1980s. Again.
When he got popular and started getting high, he probably just got stuck.
Yeah. Well, another thing is, he's just such a poor, I don't care if he was under a drug-induced whatever haze right now. He just looks, he sounds like such a poor human being.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he doesn't, he, you know, he want. I want the, he shouldn't just beat them, he should embarrass them. And, you know, every single thing he says is so negative and so, like, destructive. I've never, like, just, you could just paraphrase his whole thing as just, like, a destructive, nasty rant
oh, yeah.
on, like, life.
Absolutely.
It's just, but. All right, continue, sir.
Now,
and if he chooses to do so, he will stop your heart, and he will behead you.
And all in service to the Pope.
Absolutely. That's what we do. That's what we do.
All right, getting into Apocalypse Now, that's one of the things. It's probably my favorite movie. I know it's yours. Of course, your dad stars in it. You were there for months during the production of it. Put a big mark on your soul. Apocalypse Now, my friend.
I mean, there's not much you can say other than genius represents life. Apocalypse will teach you how to live inside of a moment between a moment, and that's where life is. Because, you know, I'm not just you know, Captain Willer. I'm not just my dad, and I'm, you know, heading up the river to kill another part of me, which is Kurtz. I am every character in between, save for that little weirdo with his gut strapped in, begging for water. That's not me. But, you know, there are parts of me that are Dennis Hopper, because my motto now is you either love or you hate, and you must do so violently.
Okay, this is hilarious, actually. Did he just really say that he's Dennis Hopper? Because if, as far as I know, Dennis Hopper's dead.
Yeah.
So is he basically just saying he's dead? All right, fantastic. Dude, it might come true. Keep hoping for that.
Yeah, he's going down that course.
Yeah, he sure is.
And the reason you must hate violently is because, and you have to hate everybody that's not in your family, because they're there to destroy your family. And they will come at you in all forms and shapes. And therefore, there's nothing in the middle. I don't live in the middle anymore. That's where you get slaughtered. That's where you get embarrassed in front of the prom queen. And it's just not an option. So, you know, within that is tremendous focus and tremendous clarity and tremendous peace. Because you have absolute and total resolve about your decisions. If you love with violence and you hate with violence, there's nothing that can be questioned. And people say, oh, you know, you're going to work through your resentments. Yeah, no, I'm going to hang on to them, and they're going to fuel my attack. And they're going to fuel the battle cry of my deadly and dangerous secret and silent soldiers, because they're all around you.
I hope he's not loving violently, as he said, but I suppose that would answer all the questions of what happened in his trashed hotel rooms. Exactly. And secret soldiers all around. Yes, Charlie, they're all around you.
Yes.
Whispering voices in your crazy little head.
Dude, he is a batshit insane.
Yeah.
I don't think he's made, like, one cognizant, like, actually, like, logical thought the entire time. I just completely out of his mind.
He does say winning a lot. That's, I don't know.
He does. Winning.
Winning.
And it's not, it rhymes with winning. Winning.
I know. I didn't even get that. Rhymes with winning.
It sure does.
Yeah, it's the same word, you dumbass.
Anyway, thought you were just messing with one dude. Sorry. Winning.
Well, Charlie, I mean, I tell you, it is amazing. And I just appreciate you coming on today so folks can really hear the energized, unleashed Charlie Sheen. You wanted to talk about AA because, you know, when I was at your house, I said, man, great job being completely sober and, you know, how important it was.
But I can't use the word sober because that's a term from those people. And I have cleansed myself. I closed my eyes and it's a nanosecond. I cured myself from this
ridiculous model
of disease and addiction.
Did you know that if you're an alcoholic and you have to go to rehab, you can just close your eyes and wish it and you'll be cured. You won't be an alcoholic anymore.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. According to Charlie Sheen, that's how you do it. You just got to close your eyes and wish it away and you're not it. You're sober.
That's amazing. Oh,
talk about,
if only we had known that years ago.
Yeah, I know. It would help so many people if they just knew they could just close their eyes. It would help so many people.
Oh, this guy is enlightening me right now.
Obsession. It's just the work of sissies. The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning, you know? This bootleg cult, you know, arrogantly referred to as Anonymous, Alex, supports a 5% success rate. My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
100%. How many times has this buffoon regressed into his drugged up ways? 100%.
100% success rate.
Take, for instance, its founder, a desperate and, I don't know, broken down plagiarist, stayed high on acid until the day he died. I can't seem to find that chapter in his silly book of lies. And then, Alex, try to get your mind around this as a fellow warrior deep in the trenches. Their entire manifesto is built upon a complete and total surrender, or the concept of complete and total surrender. They urge you to put down your sword and come join the winners. In 22 years, the only winners I could locate in their toothless warren were either driving a convertible van or living like trolls under some abandoned bridge. Another one of their stupid mottos, Alex, is don't be special, be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you.
Again, arrogant asshole.
And the thing is, to everyone who's had to deal with alcoholism or people they know and their families, or even, you know, say successfully went through rehab, didn't go through, the fact that he slapped them all in the face by just that rant was the biggest load of shit I've ever heard. Just like completely trashed everyone. Doesn't basically, you're a loser and not a winner, and you're all toothless trolls that live under a bridge.
Oh.
I'm just like, that is fantastic. You know what? If I was Steve Bass, I wouldn't have even halted production. I just would have canceled the freaking show out from under him. Just, why would anyone want to work with him?
Yeah, there it is.
You sound like Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy. No, but I dare anyone to debate me on things. Debate me on AA right now. I have a disease. Bullshit. I cured it with my brain, with my mind.
That's my favorite.
I'm cured. I'm done.
This whole thing. I cured it with my mind. He sounds like a Scientologist now.
He does. He's like, I cured it with my mind. It's done. I'm clean. I cured it with my mind. Okay, dude, you did it with your mind. That's a lot of other things you do with your mind. It's called mind-altering drugs.
I closed my eyes, and I did it with my mind.
Well, we all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view, Alex.
That sounds like some corny line from, like, an 80s movie.
Oh, that's the end of the little rant here. Oh, my God.
He's basically saying, I'm here with two porn stars, and the view's pretty good. We're going to be doing lots of coke and having sex, and you guys are all losers. Awesome. I rock.
Oh, what a self-destruction.
Yeah, like Dr. Drew said, he was just, you know, saying this is like a giant, giant warning sign that he's in bad, bad shape, and that, like, if he doesn't get immediate help, he's going to be, you know, he's obviously has no control over what he's doing at this point. He's sabotaging his entire career at this point. Obviously, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So
as a result of all this, like I'd said before, CBS had decided to discontinue production of Two and a Half Men for the rest of the season. And following the announcement by CBS, Sheen actually sent this following letter to TMZ. Quote, what does this say about Haim Levine, or Chuck Lorre? After he tried to use his words to judge and attempt to degrade me, I gracefully ignored this folly for 177 shows. I fire back once and this contaminated little maggot can't handle my power and can't handle the truth. I wish him nothing but pain in his silly travels, especially if they wind up in my octagon. Clearly I have defeated this earthworm with my words. Imagine what I would have done with my fire-breathing fists. I urge all my beautiful and loyal fans who embraced this show for almost a decade to walk with me side by side as we march up the steps of justice to right this unconscionable wrong. Remember, these are my people, not yours. We will continue on together. End quote.
He is... So wait, was he challenging him to a fight in a mixed martial arts?
Oh, yeah.
Or what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
I cannot wait for this asshole to crash and burn.
Oh my God! I hate to say it, but I won't shed a tear if he dies. You know, he's become that much of a complete douchebag, like just complete utter asshole.
Yeah,
I can't believe anyone would ever, you know, do that and then have like the audacity to be like still going on and be like, it's all their fault. If you like the show, let's storm and make like, yeah, dude, you're crazy.
Yeah, I certainly wish no ill will on people, but good God, this guy's asking for it.
Pretty much, dude. I mean, he's obviously, you know, has, you know, whatever, man. He's digging his own grave, literally. So.
Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Wasn't that cathartic? Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I need to let loose every now and then.
Oh, my God. He is bad. I'm sorry. If anyone out there, the best thing is I've not heard one person in the entire world defend him because he's like, if he thinks he's so right, then why is no one else on his side? Like, says the radio host who apparently just likes to laugh and say he's been at his house like 69 times.
I know, right?
So apparently he's so right that no one is on his side, and everyone thinks he's a raving lunatic. And so that must be working out well for him. I'm sure all the movie companies are going to be offering him lots of roles, and a lot of TV producers are going to want to work with him now.
Yeah.
So he can, I guess he'll be, you know, doing more coke and hanging with porn stars. So sounds like the life.
Coming next from Hollywood, Charlie Sheen starring in I Hate the Jews, directed by Mel Gibson.
Yeah, seriously. Actually, yeah, he's right up there with Mel Gibson right
now.
It's
they're the only two people that are going to work with each other.
Yeah, it's just, although Mel Gibson does have that movie coming out that I thought was actually a fan-made joke trailer.
The Beaver.
Yeah, that's going to be a winner.
That actually looks kind of funny.
With Mel Gibson with a puppet Beaver?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say anything about
that. They write themselves at this point.
Yeah. It's pretty
funny. I apologize to those that actually wanted a full news block this week, but all in all, it was actually kind of a slow news week, and then this gift just fell right into our laps.
You can just listen to it over and over again. You can find different ways. I mean, just he's like the best is when he's like talked about being like warlocks and Pope assassinating warlocks, and like he's obviously whacked out of his gourd, and it's just hilarious. I mean, you can't. There's nothing that's going to be that golden for like a long time to come out. That's just you can't discount that. Gold.
Unbelievable. So to start wrapping things up, just to put it out there again, the poll question: what was the biggest Oscar robbery? So if you
maybe happening right
it
now,
it may be happening right now. Absolutely. We're not watching it, but you guys might be. Nope. What was the biggest Oscar robbery? Send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Final thought or something you'd like to plug, Brian?
My new podcast, Graphically Speaking, started last week. Check it out. And issue 2 should be out in 2 weeks or so.
Awesome, awesome.
So, yep.
I love it. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter, at XanderHarris.com, or XanderHarris.com.
At XanderHarris on Twitter. Yes, I never give mine out, but I am at The Night Angel on Twitter if you want to find me there. And Sweet. It's night, like the medieval kind, not the day and night kind.
Like the dark
That's night. Right. That's where it came from. If you like this show, again, I ask you to please tell your friends. If you'd like to visit our site, you can visit The Geek Generation at TheGeekGeneration.com. There's a button there to subscribe to this show in iTunes, which will also subscribe you to the movie reviews that come out, as well as the Graphically Speaking podcast. That's all on the same channel, so you can get them all there. You can rate the show and write a review while you're in iTunes. That would be awesome. There's a donation button on the site that no one will ever use. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future episode, please send those also to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So it's been cathartic, Brian.
Yes, very much so.
It has. We've had a good time here, and we hope you guys all enjoyed the ride with us. We will see you all.
Winner. Just remember,
winners.
Winner. That's the word
we'll
of the day.
We'll all be winners. We will see you next time. Later.